what would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice, because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with eight or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the From the Horse's Mouth weekend tipping show with Rory Zlargy and Joe Logue back. He was always going to come back for this episode. More of that anon. And before I bring in our two esteemed guests, looking ahead to a busy weekend of racing, really busy weekend of racing, Easter weekend, always busy. A couple of notes for you from producer Mark. If you are listening to this before good or great Friday, be sure to check out a bonus show. Tom Nugent and Frank Hickey covered all of the all-weather action, and there is plenty of it on ITV. So, well, sure, they didn't go through all the racing, but they went through a lot of it. Really good prize money up for grabs. Loads of ITV racing for you on Good Friday, which is still not a bank holiday here. I know it catches everyone out. But anyway, if you're sneaking away from work, you can tell them it's bank holiday. And Punter's Panel is back for Aintree, featuring Ruby Walsh, Frank Hickey, and a special guest. If you want to get involved and ask the lads a question and earn a free bet in the process, email fthm@paddypower.com and we'll pick you up from there, or at least producer Mark will. So watch out for that ahead of the entry festival. But now it's the how are yous, Rory. How are you? I haven't spoken to you since Cheltenham.
No. Someone's haven't been gallivanting around the world, but yeah, I'm in good form.
I didn't gallivant around the world. I went to one country. Unless you count Heathrow. But all good in your front. And you did the review show at Ruby, and that's on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel if you still haven't had enough Cheltenham. And the Thursday and Friday for you, because I hadn't talked to you, were you okay with Cheltenham? You're all right?
Yeah. Friday was all about one thing. It was all about getting Corak Rambler to hit the frame in the Gold Cup. So
he did.
Thursday wasn't great because I had Brighter Days Ahead as the one to make or break a festival. And then I had Angels Dawn Again and the Kim Muir each way. And she would have been second, I think, if she hadn't tipped up at the second last. But there you go. But Corak Rambler had those each way multiples that hit for a few bobs. So
nice.
Saved all my blushes in the end. And hopefully one or two were on a couple of those.
Thank you, Lucinda Russell. Joe, we had to bring you back from Maidan because of your record on the dirt. How are you, though, ahead of the action on ITV and beyond? Are you well?
Yeah, very good, PK. I had a busy Cheltenham, but like yourself, I took a week off after it and went to the sun for a bit of tanning. So I'm refreshed and ready to go now.
Hang on, I didn't see any of that on Twitter. What you're supposed to do, Joe, is put everything you do on holidays on Twitter. Where were you? There's no proof of this. Where were you?
I was just down in the Algarve in Portugal, and it was quite sunny. It was good. Obviously, I picked up a bit of a head cold midway through the holiday and kind of just shaking it off now. But no, feeling good. Looking forward to the weekend.
Didn't happen. Didn't see it on X. Didn't happen. Just the Algarve. Stop. The flight needs to be at least 8 hours away. Right. If anyone wants to know what we're talking about, check out my Twitter. I think I put a few photos up for my holidays after Cheltenham. Right. We're going to talk about a lot of racing. We're going to go from Musselburgh to Haydock to Maidan to Ferry House. Might even go to America. Who knows? Joe Logue's here, so might. Let's kick off with the 150 at Musselburgh. It is obviously their first flat card, or first. I think they have a jumps card after the flat card. It's a bit wonky this year, but anyway, this is on ITV. The Royal Mile Handicap gets things underway. Individualism for Charlie Johnson. Of course, his dad always made hay at Musselburgh, and he'd be looking to pick up where his dad left off. The 7-4 favorite, Ice Max for Carl Burke. It's 11-4, 5-1 Berkshire Nugget on handicap debut. 13th, that's for Andrew Balding. 13-2 Johnny Ringo, and 7-1 and bigger the rest. Okay, flat folks, it's flat. You were back for Doncaster last week, Rory, so you're in the flat mold on turf. Give us the winner.
No great surprises here. I thought Individualism was a standout. I think his two-year-old form, he looked the type who needed experience last year and would do better, granted a test of stamina as a three-year-old. He's from he's closely related to the likes of Ron Priestley and Subjectivist, of course, won the Gold Cup. So he's going to improve for stepping up beyond 7 furlongs. But his form last season has worked out very well. He was second on his debut. He was in a wee bit disappointing second time out at Leicester, but the horse that won that race went off second favourite for the Solario Stakes on his next start. He then ran very, very well in a novice race at Ayr on softish ground. where he was second to Respectful, with Volterra third and Colorado Dancer fourth. The three around him have all won since. And he went on and ran in a decent novice at Newmarket on testing ground right at the end of the season, 3rd of November. And he was fourth there behind Zoom Zoom, or was it fifth rather, behind Zoom Zoom and Balmacara. Zoom Zoom won a listed race in France on his next start. Balmacara was a winner at Doncaster last weekend. The form was working out really well. I'd have thought he'd be a lot better than 78 in time. He might need further than a mile, but I think the fact that I think Too Darn Hot is going to be a fair influence for speed on the sire side of his pedigree. So a mile on soft ground should suit him pretty well. I think the handicap has let him in pretty lightly on the balance of his form at two. And given that the stable do very well at this meeting historically, Finch Charm won the race last year for Charlie Johnson. Spirit Catcher won it 2 years ago when Charlie and Mark were both in the license, and Mark won it the year before that with Namuse. So it's all there. And he looks a blindingly obvious favourite to start the day.
Blindingly obvious individualism, or is it going to be a bit collectivism? Joe, are you going to be with individualism as well?
No, I'm going to take Rory on here. Look, the Johnson Yard's a yard that I can never really get right, so I tend to kind of look elsewhere if I can find an angle into the race. And I like Ice Max. Looking at him last night, he was big price. He was like 7-1, and there was three places available. I actually was really close to pulling the trigger and backing him each way, and the race is cut up now, but I'm still happy enough to play him from a win-only perspective. Like his form, like, it can look a bit patchy maybe if you take a quick glance at it, but I think he has excuses. The three times he's been beaten, he's won twice, beaten three times, but the three times he has been beaten were on kind of soft, heavy ground. I think his both his wins are on good to soft. The ground really never gets that bad up here in Musselburgh, so I think the ground should be fine for him. He was sent off short enough price last time out at Doncaster towards the end of the season on real heavy ground, and he was like super keen that day. He blew his chance basically. After a couple of furlongs, he knew he wasn't really going to stay on. They've gelded him now on pedigree. He should be one that's going to continue developing as a 3-year-old, and he's a horse that I had my eye on last year as a 2-year-old. So I expect him to progress here. Love backing Carol Burke horses as well. He's 21% for the last 2 weeks. He's, you know, model of consistency. So, look, you know what you're going to get. I find that I usually get the Johnson Yard wrong, and they're a bit hot and cold for me. So I'm happy enough to take on the favourite here.
It's so funny how we get into that kind of habit of, I can't back those horses. We all have them. Like Joe, Rory, you too, and John Joe O'Neill, and Joe, it's Mark Johnson. A lot of people actually find the Mark Johnson horses, or sorry, Charlie Johnson now, but certainly previously with Mark, very tricky. 225. Next race on the card is the Silver Arrow Handicap, and Carl Burke's got another good chance in the same colours, this time with the Poet Master bidding to make it 4 wins from just 5 starts. 11-4 favourite, 130 Northern Express for Michael Dodds. It's 9-2 Guidor for Katie Scott and William Pyle, 15-2 Love de Vega for Charlie Johnson, and 10's Bar. Back to you, Joe. Are you sticking with Carl Burke?
Yeah, sticking with him here. Price is probably fair. I wouldn't say it's a huge price or anything, 11-4. But look, he won on debut. I thought he was good that day, and then carried a penalty to win a novice at Haydock. But look, he was well beaten then on handicap debut. He sent off 3-1 favourite. But look, I think you have to forgive him that he's come out next time out and he's won off the same mark. That was off a mark of 92 over 7 furlongs at Doncaster. He's a 4-year-old. Lope de Vega again. He should be, you know, improving as he trains on. He's fairly unexposed against a lot of handicappers that, you know, basically have shown their hand previously. So look, expect him to improve. The price isn't massive, but I'm happy enough to side him here.
All right, it's going to be a good day for Carl Burke. Rory, thoughts on the Silver Arrow?
Tell me what price you're seeing on Darkness there.
I can tell you what I'm seeing.
I'm looking at the prices, but I'm not sure whether they're in the right columns where I'm looking for them.
I've got 1-4, 14-1.
Yeah, also, he'd definitely be the better at that price. A lot of these are high enough in the weights and on the balance of the form. I take Joe's point that you know, you might as well go with the unexposed one. Poet Master has certainly got plenty going for him, and I do respect his chances. Northern Express was second on this 2 years ago and then ran well to be, I think, fifth behind Guidor last season. Obviously, Guidor's won this for the last 2 years, and it was kind of interesting coming back, but they're high on the weights. Like, Guidor was rated 80-odd when he won this 2 years ago, and I think he won off 90 last year. He's now rated 100, and I thought initially, well, Northern Express might be more interesting. He's up to 102, and he was racing off 90-odd. in the race last season as well. So I thought the handicapper probably had the pair of them at the moment. Boardman's beginning to slip down the weights, but I think he needs to drop a little bit further to win. He will like the ground. He tends to show his best form at Chester and Haydock, though. And I thought Darkness has definitely dropped to a mark he can win off. He was a very good fourth in the Golden Mile at Goodwood in August. That was off a mark of 94. He's dropped to 90 now. I don't know. He can be in and out. His form around these days is a little bit suspect. He was well beaten on faster ground, two starts after Goodwood, but was back to form on his penultimate start, and he's definitely slipped down to a mark he can win off. David Amara's doing okay. He had a good winner in a handicap at Doncaster last weekend, so his horses are starting the season in reasonable form. Darkness has a half decent record fresh. He's only I'll ignore his debut for David Amara which was 2 years ago, but the opening meet, I think it was the Lincoln, wasn't it? Or was it the Spring Mile? It was the Lincoln itself. But last season, he came back off 282 days off and was beaten half a length on heavy ground at Redcar. So we know he can go well fresh. He was winning 87 this time last year. He's won off 91. He's back below his last winning mark. The yards in form, Danny Tuttle on board. I think he's got lots going for him, and 14-1 seems too big to me.
Okay, Darkness for Rory Postmaster, for Joe in the 225 a must for. On to the 3 o'clock, the Scottish Sprint Cup, 5 furlongs the trip. And guess who's got the favourite? Kay or Burke? Carl Burke. Well, at the time of recording, and I should mention, we're recording 12:45 on Thursday afternoon. So basically kind of the first show prices since the races went into Dave Racebook. 4-1 Vintage Clarets, Richard Fahey. David and Nicola Barron have got Zarzini at the same price. 13-2, a bit of fine wine, apt winner on Easter weekend. 8-1 Glorious Angel and 9-1 Looking for Linda. Back to you, Rory, for the Scottish Sprint Cup.
Disappointed in the price here, but the selection is Silky Wilky for me. Given he was well beaten last time out, I thought he'd be a bigger price for that. But he is very well treated on the form he showed him winning last year. And I don't think he's a 5 furlong horse through and through. He did get himself a bit outpaced at Wolverhampton 2 starts back, but I'm inclined to put that down to the surface as much as anything else, because he does have a lot of speed, generally speaking. He led them at Lingfield in a very competitive handicap. The all-weather finals trial handicap last time out, but faded from a furlong out to finish ninth. But he was still in front or disputing the lead with a furlong to go there. He's definitely better at this trip. The handicapper has really given him a chance. With Sam Fielding claiming 7, he's effectively running off a mark of 90 now. When you bear in mind he's running in group races and in handicaps off marks of like 105 and thereabouts, this is by far his easiest task for a long time. Soft ground and a flat track suits him really well. He won this race really easily last year, won by 4¾ lengths off a mark of 99. He's off 97, and he's got Sam Fielding claiming the 7. Sam has won on him before as well, won on him 2 starts before that success last year. So the jockey's not a worry for me, and I thought he was teed up very nicely for this. I just thought the market might miss him slightly, but it hasn't. 3-1's fair. You might get a little bit better. But 3-1's just about fair enough for me to pull the trigger. But I was maybe feeling a bit greedy with the price I was expecting on it.
Take a 3-1 winner any day. Joe, is it 3-3 for Carl Burke?
I actually put you away at the start of the pod, PK. I don't have any selection in this race, but look, perhaps Carl Burke can get a 3-timer up early doors for us.
Joseph, when I ask you if you have selections, and if you don't have selections before we go live on air, you need to tell me about this. Now, to be fair, I've made a gazillion mistakes whereby I brought you in when you've actually told me you don't have a selection. But anyway, nothing for Joe in the 3 o'clock, and that's absolutely fine. On to the 3:35 at Musselburgh, which is the Queen's Cup. Good prize money here with $50,000 and change going to the winner. 1¾ is the trip. Chillingham for Ed Bethel, who's actually going quite well at the moment, is the 7-2 favourite on Thursday afternoon. Sweet Fantasy for James Fantasy, rather, who's been busy over jumps, 9-2. 6-1 Berkshire Rocco for Andrew Balding. 17-2 Your Kindness for Charlie Johnson. 9-1 Hope You Can Run for the same trainer. And 9-1 Struth. It's 11's bar. Right, I'll bring you in then, Joe, because you do have one for me in this.
I do indeed, and one that I quite like, actually. I always find this time of the year tough for pricing up races and for betting, because you don't know what yards are fit and what yards need to run. So There's a bit of guesswork here with some coming off a break, and I've sided with one that has some recent runs, and albeit they're over hurdles. I like Metier here for Harry Fry. His jumping career has kind of fallen apart in the last year. He's 10 of 16 last time out at Sandown, and pulled up in his last three hurdle runs. So I think switching back to the flat's going to suit him. He was second in the race last year off 94. He's running off 101 here, but he went on last year and won the Chester Cup after this. But look, he's £7 higher now. I think he should give a good account of himself. You're hoping that a switch back to the flat reignites, you know, the fire burning inside, and with four places, I'm happy enough to play him each way at 11-1.
Metier on a return to the flat for Joe. Rory, the Queen's Cup.
I think Struth will run a big race here. I'm not sure I trust him entirely. Might have made that point once or twice on the pod last year, but he's got lots of placed form in high level handicaps last season, and he is the sort who should actually improve from 3 to 4 physically. He was still unfurnished last year. He can carry his head a bit awkwardly, but he's tactically versatile, and he bounced back to form in no uncertain terms in his last two starts. Was fourth in the Old Rowley Cup, having done far too much on the front end. He said he doesn't have to lead, but he went off like a scalded cat that day under William Buick and didn't quite get home, but was a lot better than the bare result. And then he ran an excellent second at Newcastle on his final start in the November handicap switch to the Tapita. He's perfectly capable on heavy ground, good to soft, good to firm. He'll take it anyway. And I would have thought he'd be ridden reasonably handy here from stall 5 with Jason Hart riding. I think Jason Hart's a good jockey booking for a horse like him. And generally speaking, although he looks a little bit tricky, he only ran one bad race last year. He can go well fresh. Yeah, again, the yard's got an excellent record in this contest. Mark Johnson won it with Austrian School in 2019, the Max Buchan 2021. So I thought Struth was the most interesting of the Johnson runners, and he's the type who could progress a fair bit this season if his temperament doesn't hold him back. As I said, the temperament's a wee bit of a worry, but maybe he was just a little bit weak last season. But his form stacks up pretty well, and he stood up to a busy campaign. So I think there's a fair bit to like about him. There's a lot of slow horses in here, which he isn't. Now most of his forms the vast majority of his forms at a mile and a half. But he does stay a mile and three quarters. And I thought the mile and six, or extended mile and five, if you like, at Musselburgh would suit him down to the ground. And I gave him a big chance here.
Sprouth for Rory and Joe going with Metier in the Queen's Cup. And that is your flat action at Musselburgh. Let's talk some jumps racing at Haydock, where Rory's going to take over because Joe says, stick the jump somewhere else. You will give us one though, Joe, in the 205, which is the handicap hurdle headed in the market by Brentford Hope at 15-8 for friend of the pod, Harry Derham. Hi, Harry. 4-1 for Playful Saint for the Skeletons, 5-1 Mildam. It's 7-1 the Churchill Lad. El Jefe is 10s, as is Mr. Mackay. You do have one for me in the 205, Joe, so off you go.
I do, and look, I think Brentford Hope, he probably should be a tough one to beat, but his price is short enough for me, so went looking down the field for something at a bigger price, and I've come down on Holly. Look, she's a mare that I've liked for quite some time, but she's very, very hit and miss and probably disappointing. But I can't really put my finger on why she underperforms. I can't really find any pattern there, but I thought she was good 2 runs ago at Market Raisin, winning off 114. She won on the bridle, like really impressive that day, but you know, beaten at Plumpton last time out and beaten at Fakenham 2 runs ago before the win at Market Raisin. And I don't think those like tight tracks suited her. She looked to be a bit outpaced in the bend and a bit unbalanced. But I was hoping maybe Haydock with its long straight would help her travel into the race a bit better. And she does travel into the race quite well, give her a bit of time to sort herself out and kind of get her jumping correct. Again, you're taking a chance that she's on a going day, but I think 16-1 is a fair enough price to take that chance each way. But look, it is kind of a bit of buyer beware, but I think she's a fair alternative to the favourite and she can run well here.
She's a dual Grade 3 winner in bumpers in France, Holly. And curiously, she ran a Grade 1 at Saint-Cloud. I know their version of bumpers is a little bit different. And she was 5th in that. Do you know what the name of the horse that won that race is called? No, you won't, but Holly. Holly beat Holly. Like, it's literally the exact, almost the exact same spelling, except H-O-L-L-E-E. That would have been a nightmare for the old commentator there. It's Holly with an E and Holly with a Y. Right, Holly the pick for Joe. Rory?
Because they all began with H that day as well because of the old QPS naming convention. So.
No, I don't want that. Give me, what does that?
Otto? None of, but none of the H's pronounced, obviously, as well. Oli and Oli.
Oli. Otra quam pure sang. Otra something pure sang. I don't know. Anyway, go on. AQPS.
Yes. Other than pure bread. Otra quam pure sang. I'm a big fan of Brentford Hope, and I hope we can win this. But I take Joe's point that he's skinny enough, and to get him qualified for this, he had to win at Newcastle last time, and ended up, you know, getting a 5-point penalty, which probably makes life tough enough. He's been running really well in good company all season, but you do wonder whether a bump up to a mark of 140 just stops him here. But the first run on ground that's, I mean, it's liable to be heavy, isn't it, on the day? Good old Haydock. But it'll certainly be testing. And the key to Brentford Hope has always been very soft ground. I think the track at Haydock will suit him as well. And he would just be the pick. I thought with Hawley, I thought the key to her might be slightly better ground, because her most disappointing efforts have come in deep ground. It wasn't so bad. It was good to sort of market raise them when she won, and she seemed to appreciate that. So that's where I sort of stand on her. You can give Salsada a big chance on one run last season when she was a very good second in the Yorkshire Rose Mares Hurdle behind Epitons. But I'm not sure I entirely trust that form. And there's not an awful lot to choose between Mill Dam and Playful Saint, who were first and second in a race at Stratford the day before the Cheltenham Festival, when we were all busy looking elsewhere. They've all got chances. I thought it was a tough race. Brentford Hope for the sake of a selection, but it's more heart than head that. So I'm just hoping he can win.
Okay, Brentford Hope token selection, but all Holly or Uli for Joe. Right, a couple of more races at Haydock. It's going to go back-to-back to you, Rory, for these. The 240 Haydock, the first over 3 miles, the series final handicap hurdle. It's Astronomic View for the Gardeners. Lucy and Sue is the 7-2 favourite. 9-2 Shoeshine Boy for Donald Willen. 6-1 Gosh How Posh for Philip Hobbs and Johnson White. Micheál Lonan rides Dochmore Bay, and 7-1 As a Secret Tricks. 8-1 Judicial Law for John Joe Neal Jr. Senior. Okay, back to you, Rory.
I thought Shoeshine Boy would be the value in this race. It's been running really well all season. Has won narrowly in his last two starts. Just one figures for his last seven starts. First, second, 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 fourth, first. All in reasonably competitive handicaps. I suppose the one thing you can throw at him is his disappointing run came here. But he's taken his form to a new level subsequently. I think he had a breathing problem that day when finishing last of four behind Hill of Tara. But he's had a tongue tie on the last twice, and he's improved again. He won at Ayr on heavy ground, and then over a stiff 3 mile one at Kelso, for just a career best to win last time I beaten Dare to Shout. The handicapper hasn't hit him hard for that. You know, as I said, he's got seven really good runs in a row there, and his mark has risen by, what, about £5 this season. So he's still competitive. I know he's down the bottom of the weights here, but he's the type he's capable of causing a surprise. And Donald Willens, who trains him, has just had a really good season. I think he's got a 28% strike rate in the calendar year, running plenty of horses and getting winners on a regular basis, lots of horses hitting the frame as well. So not normally a stable you're looking for in races like this, but this, you know, a trainer like Donald Willens doesn't get too many chances to pick up a big pot. And I imagine this has been on his mind for a while, and I think he's given Shoeshine Boy a really good prep for this as well. So liable to be a little bit under the radar. Marginal question mark about the track, given he ran disappointingly here, but I think the tongue tie has fixed that issue, and I give him a decent chance of beating some shorter price rivals.
Up £6 for two wins. Are we sure D. Skelton doesn't train it? Fair play, Donald Willans. All right. 3:15 is back to you, Rory. It's the Middle Distance Veterans Handicap Chase finale. Again, good prize money. Over 50 grand going to the winner. Tom George has got Champagne Mystery, the top of the market on Thursday at 130, but just from Riders on the Storm for Richard Hobson and Gavin Sheehan, 7-2. Thor de Cerisi going for a hat-trick for Neil Mulholland, 11-2. 6-1, Numitor, 6-1, also Pink Legend. And then Top Field Ben at 7-1, it's 12's bar. All right, the old-timers, Rory, what wins?
Yeah, well, a little bit of handicapping for you first, because you like your British handicapper and their eccentricities. Thor de Cerisi finished alone last time. He was left alone at the top of the straight at Chepstow and was able to canter home in his own time. Went up a pound for that.
It's a bit harsh.
He went up a pound for a walkover. How does that work?
That is a bit harsh.
Yeah, it just doesn't make an awful lot of sense, does it? I really like Numitor here. He's not the maybe not the easiest to keep right, but he's been lightly raced in recent seasons. He's a bold jumper on his day. He slid to a decent mark. He ran very well over this trip at Newbury exactly a year ago. Well, a year and 3 days ago, went second to Heldenham. That form has worked out nicely. Heldenham has been in excellent form in his last few starts this season, winning the same race again, having also won at Newbury earlier this month. That form's solid. He was disappointing when jumping poorly on ground that I thought was lively enough for him at the entry in his final start. That was in the Topham. I think you can ignore any moderate run at the Topham. Horses either take those fences or they don't. And then he was off until about a week and a half ago, where he shaped really well, I thought, from the front, just looking slightly in need of the run when finishing fourth at Exeter on heavy ground over this trip. I think he'd come forward for that. And having dropped a mark of 129, which is £6 lower than when he was a very good second at Newbury last season, he's certainly got a massive chance from a handicapping perspective. And your only concern is how well he will come on for that run. A few people might suggest that the bounce factor would come into to play there. But I think he's better than his form figures make him look last season. And generally speaking, he's very reliable. So with Sean Bourne on board, taking over from his brother James, I thought Numitor should be close to favourite for this.
Okay, interesting shout. And the Paul Jacobs Silks, El D'Amato. Remember him? Pulled out all the time on ground he didn't like. Numitor.
Yeah, that's because they were seeding the clouds as well, you know.
Oh, yes. The seeding of the clouds that caused the different type of rain to fall on the track. Oh, God, that was a funny one. And that was Maidan, wasn't it? That is a beautiful segue because we are now going to talk about Maidan, or at least going to bring in Joe. Joe, I won't put pressure on you, but essentially when we get you on for these international meetings, you tip up winners at 5-1 or bigger. So you're going to continue to do that, all right? You're just going to. Laurel River, who's back this weekend, you also tipped up Senor Buscador at a huge price. Both of those we will see on Saturday. Yes, will we see?
We will indeed,
excellent,
yeah.
Excellent. But first, it's to the turf.
Yeah, the 3:10 Maidan on Saturday, Dubai Turf. There's a few familiar faces in here. Look, it looks an unbelievable race. Just run through a few of them. Lord North is showing up here again. He's really well backed last time out in the Winter Derby. And we actually took him on that day in the trading room. We thought that it might be a prep race, but he ran a cracker, in fairness to him. He was beaten, but the market did fancy him. So look, he should take a step forward from that. He's currently 7-1. Luxembourg as well shows up here. He's done nothing wrong. He was second August Rodan, the Champion Stakes at Leopardstown, ran a cracker that day, and then went to Hong Kong in the Hong Kong Cup and was beaten a short head by Romantic Warrior. Beaten last time out, an 8-13 favourite in Saudi. But we were actually doing the punters panel that day, and Fran Berry said he has no chance because he's drawn in the car park. So you can, you know, draw a line through that. So look, he again has another cracking chance here. He's 10-1. We're going to be paying 5 places here online. So at 10-1, that's a really, really good each way bet as far as I'm concerned. But the selection is going to be measured time. Charlie Appy, William Buick down in Maidan. Look, he's a lightly raced 4-year-old. He's had a really good winter. He's won a Group 2 here in December, then took a further step forward winning the Jebel Hatta in January, which is a Group 1. He's by Franklin, looks like he has plenty of scope to improve. He's very, very lightly raced for his age as well. And I can kind of see him going off favourite here, and I think he'll take a lot of beating. He's currently 4-1.
5 places. Jeez, that's generous.
Very
two more than usual. All right. Okay. That's measure time. What could be a big, big day for the boys in blue, Charlie Appy in particular, William Buick on board. Doe Deuce, the favourite on Thursday. You didn't even mention horses like Nashua was in the race. And F de Tory, is that Frankie's son? Because obviously Frankie retired last year. So he's it's a Frankie F de Tory Jr., is it? Yeah, he rides Lord North. Yeah, he's still retired, isn't he?
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, on to the fourth round. We will get to Fairy House, by the way, folks. We will talk about Fairy House if you're wondering why the hell we haven't talked about that yet. We will. We'll get there. The Shima Classic over a mile and a half, and we get him back, Auguste Rodin. An away day for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore, the 7-4 favourite from the Japanese-trained Liberty Island with Yuga Kawada on board. Emily Upjohn, big ride for Kieran Schumark on what's going to be a big year for him as the number one state. I don't know if they've said he's like the stable jockey, but you know, he basically is for Jonathan Eddie Godson. 7-1. Rebels Romance then for Charlie Appy 12s, as is Stars on Earth. Andre Fab. Of course, Richard Fahey and Sir Alex Ferguson's Spirit Dancer, who seems to always be underrated. He's 22-1, but he's won some massive prizes in the Middle East. Thoughts, Joseph?
We're going to be paying four places here online as well, PK. So I can't, you know, the horse that you mentioned at double figure odds, can't put anyone off backing him each way, but I find it very hard to see past the favourite, August Rodin. I'm really fond of the horse, and I do think he's criminally underrated by a lot of people. He's obviously bombed out twice in high-profile races, the Guineas and the King George last year, but he's a dual Derby winner, Champion Stakes winner, Breeders' Cup Turf winner. He wants, in my view, proper flat racing ground, and he's going to get that here at Maidan. The ground's always good, proper, fair ground. Look, he's proved that he's able to travel winning in America last year. Coolmore and Aidan are really talking him up. I think they're going to campaign him aggressively this year. If they want to stand him as a stallion, he's going to have a good CV under his belt this year. I think they're going to have him 100% ready for this. We're probably ducking him at the moment at 7-4. But look, I think he starts his four-year-old career with a win here. I really, really strongly fancy him.
Superb. Auguste Rodin, that's an absolute cracker of a race. Shea Rahr's in there as well. Point Lonsdale too. I mean, there'd be big prices, but great to see Auguste Rodin back. And then the 4:35 Maidan, which is the Gold Cup, or the World Cup, I should say, the Dubai World Cup. 2-1 favourite, Ushba Tesoro. Obviously, these are all dirt horses. Some of them you may not know, but a few of you should know. Laurel River and Senor Buscador, they're 8-1 and 10-1. Senor Buscador 8-1, Laurel River 10-1. You tipped them up to win last time out at massive prices, both of them, Joe. But both are big prices again. And Laurel River, I suppose the question is, will he get the mile and a quarter trip?
There's question mark over both of them, PK, and that is a big question mark for me on Laurel River. It's hard to know, and again, you're going to have to take a chance if you do fancy him. We're four places here. He's 10-1. Can't put anyone off backing him each way, but he is drawn out in stall 12, which isn't ideal. The big thing about this race is that there's absolutely no pace on here. If people back Senor Buscador in the Saudi Cup, we remember just getting up on the line and they went to breakneck gallop up front and he was able to close. Ushba Tesoro's favourite here, 2-1. He's a similar type of runner that's going to be held up. The fact that there's no pace here is a slight concern for those runners. Laurel River, if he can get across from a wide draw, he can have his own way up front. And if he's good enough and he stays, he should win. So the way I'm going to play this is I'm going to side with the two old reliables and split my stake between Senor Buscador and Laurel River. Both played them both each way at 8 and 10-1. If Laurel River gets a freebie up front and is able to stay, he should win. If by some reason there's more pace than there should be on paper here, Senor Buscador should be able to run them down. I think there's a lot of question marks here. There's not a huge amount of depth. People will know that Kak Burhan, that Kazakhstani horse that was came out of nowhere to win a Group One.
Say that again. Pronounce that again for me, please, there, Joe.
Kaburkan, is it?
Yeah, my Kazakh ain't great, so I just enjoyed your pronunciation.
Yeah, like Doug Watson trains him. He's in rotten form, in fairness. And look, there's a few of them that just don't look good enough here. So I think Laurel River, Senor Buscador, split your stakes each way four places. That's a safe way to play the race.
Yeah, Kaburkan, for those of you who want to watch some really interesting Twitter or YouTube videos. I don't know if it's on YouTube, but his win in a race in Kazakhstan, and it was Kazakhstan, it's available on Twitter/X. It's phenomenal footage. It's like they're running in the back of a plowed field. And actually, the drone footage is amazing of it. And like he's 4-1 for a Dubai World Cup, having run in this. It's just incredible footage. Just pop his name into Twitter. You'll find it. Kabir Khan. It really is amazing. I'll retweet it as well. Rory, I'm going to move on to Ferry House. You've been very quiet regarding Maidan, and that's fine. I don't want to bring you in for the sake of bringing you in, but I'm going to move on to Ferry House. Are you okay with that?
That's grand with me, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's move on to Ferry House because we do have some races, some top quality races, group or grade one races, including the Irish National on Monday. But I want to talk about Sunday first. And actually, I'm just going to give Joe a break because he's been talking a lot there. If Brighter Days Ahead and Jay DeGruzzi are both declared for the Grade 1 Honeysuckle Mares Novice on Sunday, it's Joe up at 2:35. We do have anti-post prices and we make Brighter Days Ahead favourite against Jay DeGruzzi. Rory, have you gotten over the Brighter Days Ahead defeat? Are you okay? Do you think that she'll confirm the form Jay DeGruzzi if they match up again?
I think, listen, you can mark both of them up for the run because Jay DeGruzzi was caught in the pocket with nowhere to go. Whether she would have the same stamina, but she is bred to stay. She's out in Ballingarry Mares by Dr. Dino. He stayed very well himself, but she was reasonably keen at Cheltenham over the 2 miles. She has won over 2.5 at Leopardstown, but a Brighter Days Ahead will definitely improve stepping back to 2.5 miles, having won the Appleseed Hurdle over 2.5 miles as her prep. For me, they just went too slow at Cheltenham. Everyone got it in their head. When I say everyone, I mean the jockeys on the top two in the market. But it was a match, and they basically spent the race looking at each other and trying to play mind games, and it just didn't work. And Golden Ace was allowed to get first run on them, and that ended up being crucial in the end. I think if Brighter Days Ahead had just tried to ensure a stronger pace, you might have seen a different result. But that's by the by. My Andy Poe's money's very much down the drain there, but no great harm done in the end. And I'd actually be very happy to back her again. She's what sort of 2-1, 9-4.
Yep.
I think that's very fair on what she's liable to become. I don't think in any way she diminished what she's capable of there. It just she doesn't really have a turn of foot. You know, I think she's got a massive engine and she just wants to use that. She wants to be allowed to stride on the dawn run ended up being a bit of a crawl and a sprint, and that just didn't suit her. It didn't suit Sanjay DeGruzzi either, in fairness. And it'd be interesting to see what the pair of them are like in a well-run race. But on the official figures, they are no better than Jatara. But I think the pair of them will prove themselves better than her, given the opportunity. They're both unexposed. But Brighter Days Ahead, as I said, is the one that really excites me for the future. So I wouldn't be trying to necessarily recoup all the losses, but I'd happily go in again.
Yeah, all right. Keeping the faith with Brighter Days Ahead. Joe, the other grade one on the card on Sunday is the Willow Warm Gold Cup, formerly the Powers, and I think Ryanair had the sponsor for a while. Blood Destiny, 6-4. These are anti-post prices, by the way, and obviously we don't have the final deck, so if we talk about horses aren't running, sorry. Blood Destiny, 6-4. Spallan's Terror, 7-4. Found a 15, Ilite Tomp are both 4-1, having run at Cheltenham. So if you got your classic kind of horses kept away from Cheltenham versus horses who might return from a quick return, what was your angle into it?
Focusing on the front two, PK, to be honest, they're the ones that have avoided Cheltenham and they're the ones that have had real good ding-dong battles the last twice. Spallan's Tower beat Blood Destiny over 2.5 at Punchestown, giving him plenty of weight, and then Blood Destiny reversed the form over 2 miles at Nace, but he was still getting weight off Spallan's Tower. They're running off levels here, and it's on 2.5 on bad ground. I think Spallan's Tower is the one here, although he's the bigger price. I think Willie's going to maybe default have the favourite, especially in the anti-post prices. On the day of race, it'll be interesting to see how the market develops. But look, I think the course and distance is going to suit Spallan's Tower considerably more than Blood Destiny. And I do have question marks over Blood Destiny's resolve, I suppose. I think when the battle's brought to him, I think he downs tools a bit. And look, I think Spallan's Tower at 7-4, I think is a very fair price. I'd be definitely siding with him.
All right. Spallan's Tower, who went into a lot of notebooks with that win, two starts back, but kept away from Cheltenham, as we know, could be one to go in the Willow Warm Gold Cup. Monday, Easter Monday, where we're all waking up and eating a load of chocolate eggs. 5 o'clock is when the Irish Grand National is, as ever. It's 3 miles, 5 furlongs. has been widely chatted about. Now, again, obviously, we don't have declarations, but we probably have a fair idea on the field. Certainly, the top of the market doesn't look a particularly strong renewal. But Nick Rocket has been smashed up 7-2 on Thursday. 7-2 on Thursday afternoon. 6-1 intense raffles for Tom Gibney. You got Desert Moore House for Martin Brassel, who knows how to train the winner in these colours, no less, as well, with number 6 Valverde. Heart Toward Dark for Gavin Cromwell, 9-1. Yeah, man, for Gavin Cromwell, 10-1. 11-1 Senior Chief. And any second now, a regular Nationals now for Ted Walsh, 12-1. Because I know you've got one here, Joe, I'm going to you whilst Rory continues to study.
I like intense raffles for Tom Gibney. He's a horse that is short and off at 6-1 now. I could see him being bigger on the day. He's owned by Simon Eyre and Isaac Swade, high profile owners, but the yard aren't exactly high profile. Might be one that, like I said, could get bigger on the day, but they brought him over from France, and that Ferry House run over 2.6 miles, he beat Where It All Began by 4.5 lengths that day. It's really interesting. His SP at 13-2 doesn't tell the whole tale, because if you click into the Racing Post, you know, you can see what they opened on the show. He opened at 7-2 and was a drifter and ended up winning. But I was working that day and every shrewdie in Ireland was on him. We couldn't stop playing him at any price. Kept on cutting and they kept on backing him, and he ended up drifting on the show. But they knew what they had when he ran that day, and I thought he was really impressive. Went off at 6-4 on the next day and won by 43 lengths, beating Brampton Bell over 3 miles of Ferry House. He only has to step up another couple of furlongs after that to get this trip. I think he's really interesting. Looks like one that's potentially being laid out for this mark 140. I think, you know, there should be plenty more to come. I think Tom Gibney can continue to improve this lad. Again, like you said, there's not a huge amount of depth here. There is a potential that Nick Rocket is a graded horse in a handicap, a bit like Ian Maximus last year. But at 7-2, I have no interest back in him. So intense raffles for me.
You remember his last winner, when the name of the horse he won this very race with, Joe, back in 2012?
Who?
Tom Gibney.
No.
Okay. Wasn't that long ago, Joe?
Lena
Barney. Of course you'd know, Rory. Yes, Lena Barney was indeed Tom Gibney's winner. It was a massive price as well. No one fancied it. But he is a Meath man, as you said. So
local trainer.
Yeah, local trainer. Local trainer wins an Irish National. We've heard it all before. Anything from you, Rory, in the Irish National?
There's a couple that I've mentioned earlier in the season as horses who caught my eye, looking at Cheltenham handicaps or Cheltenham races. Both of them trained by Gordon end up missing it, and they are affecting the get the right names. Favorite Chantu is the first one of them, I thought he was very impressive when he won at Punchestown in November. That was the Florida Pearl. Since that, he's been disappointing in the Neville Hotels at Christmas, and then in the 10-up at Navan last time out. But he caught my eye in the 10-up. I thought the tactics were all... It was very easy to back that day. The ground was heavy. The best of the ground, as it always is at Navan, was on the outside of the track. He went round the inside all the way. Sam Ewing made plenty of use of him, and he ended up fading quite badly in the straight. I thought he was a lot better than the bear result. I think he'd be a lot happier going back right-handed again. His first two runs, he shaped best on his debut at Galway as well. He goes from the front or close to it. And listen, he's got to look back at recent renewals of this race. The one thing you find is having him being a massive price is not a problem. As you said, Lena Barney was 33-1. Liberty Council was 50-1 the following year. Freewheeling Dylan was 150-1. Lord Laureate, the 40-1 SP was an absolute travesty there. He was 66-1 just before the off. And I'm particularly angry about that because I napped him, and I ended up getting beaten in the nap, the Racing Post naps competition by about £2. And having an extra 26 points in your SP would have been massively helpful. And most of those outsiders who've won this have done it from the front or close to the front. There's a big bias to being able to race handle here with a big field. It's hard to make up ground at Ferry House. And a sound jumping front runner is what you want more than a well-handicapped horse. It's nice to be well-handicapped as well. And in fairness, Intense Raffles, who Joe's put up, very much fits the bill as well. Young, unexposed, goes from the front. I certainly wouldn't put you off there. But I think on the day you've got a big price about Favre de Chantu. He was about 20s anti-posed. I can see him drifting from that, you know, given the fact he's been beaten 34 lengths and 38 lengths in his last two starts. And the other one at an absolutely massive price, who could outrun his form figures, recent form figures, pulled up fourth, pulled up for Dunboyne. But in two of those last three runs, he's looked the likeliest winner coming to the second last fence. And on both occasions, he hasn't made it as far as the last. Unbelievable. He's traveled really well in the Thyestes. Was sent off favourite that day. And he's traded about even money with two fences to the jump. Pulled up before the last. And exactly the same in the Grand National Trial at Punchestown next time out. Travelled best of all. Having gone off a huge price that day. Went off at 33s. Travelled really well and stopped completely before he got to the last fence and was pulled up again. I don't know whether that's a massive breathing problem because he had a tongue tie put on for the second part, or whether he's just the kind of horse who, when he gets tired, says, right, that's enough for me, and literally pulls himself up. But he is shaping as if more than capable of running well in a race like this. And again, he's not a front runner, but he'll sort of race handily in the forefront of midfield. And I think he's liable to go off about 100 to 1 on the day and could surprise a few at that sort of price. So those are the two that I'd sort of picked out as the types who could run well in a good staying handicap at a biggish price. So I've got to put them in when they're running here. I don't think Joe's far off the mark with intense raffles, though. I think that's exactly the type you want to have in a race like this. And of course, Tom Gibney always has an eye for an Irish national horse.
And I'll throw in Good Time Johnny there because he was beaten 59 lengths by Intense Raffles last time out. But I don't know. I think he'll get closer. There's just something about that horse. I just think he'll get closer. Speaking of handicappers, when Martin Greenwood, I remember we were on the pod and I couldn't remember the exact quote he had about Good Time Johnny, but it was brilliant. I've got it up here now. Martin Greenwood, the BHA handicapper who had to give Good Time Johnny a mark for the Kim Muir, said, "I've seen his chase runs and I'm not particularly happy with them." What a quote from a handicapper.
You should have done with Good Time Johnny, though. You should have given him a mark of 115 and be done with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Made handicap him the form actually showed over fences.
Handicap him as he'd seen the races, exactly. So just to recap, Intense Raffles for Joe. Maybe keep an eye on Favori de Champdu and Dunboyne. 3 miles, 5 furlongs, the Irish National. It's about 10 kilometers from Dunboyne to Ferry House. So, yeah, there you go. It's almost the same trip, a little bit more, obviously. Those are a couple of selections for Easter Monday's feature, the Irish Grand National at Ferry House. So, obviously live on RT if you're here in Ireland, and it'll be live on Racing TV. Now, before I wrap up and get weekend naps for this Easter weekend, Joe, you're a busy man. Not only have we been to Dubai, have we been to Musselburgh, have we been to Haydock, have we been to Ferry House, you want to flag up some horses running in Florida.
I do indeed, yeah. Road to the Kentucky Derby, PK. Look, it's exciting times for people who like international racing, and look, it is real competitive stuff. Going to the 10:42 at Gulfstream is the Florida Derby. We're going to have a rematch of the front two from the Holy Bull at Gulfstream as well. And Fierceness, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He was beaten in the Holy Bull last time out at 5-1 on. He was beaten by horse Hades, and to me looked beaten fair and square. Hades looked really green. I think he should improve for that experience. The second in that race that split the two of them was Domestic Product. He came out next time out and won the South Tampa Derby, which is a great true tree. It's a nice form boost. Fierceness is entitled to bounce back and you know, train on a small bit, but there's definitely huge question marks here. I think he might even go off favourite Fierceness, and that's why I'm siding with Hades. I think we might get a nice price on him. He looks like he should improve plenty for the run last time out. Quick mention as well in that race, Conquest Warrior. You can look it up on YouTube. Blew the start to the last twice, like furlong behind him two starts ago, and still came out and won really, really impressively. So he's one to watch. He's going to be a decent enough price, probably around 16, 12 to 1, somewhere around there. If people are looking for an each way bet, that's Conquest Warrior, but the selection's Hades. And then we go to Oaklawn, the Arkansas Derby, another grade one. It's at 10 minutes to midnight. Again, some high profile horses here. Two main contenders, Timberlake and Moot. Moot won the American Faro Stakes, beating a horse called Wind Me Up. Wind Me Up was beaten on Tuesday evening in a track called Mahoney Valley, which is bottom of the barrel stuff. But he was second to Fierceness as well, actually, who we just discussed. So look, I'm going to side with Timberlake. I think the form's been, a bit dodgy with Moot and Timberlake won the Champagne Stakes at Aqueduct and was fourth behind Fierceness at the Breeders' Cup, but he did underperform that day. He was really well fancied. He came out in his three-year-old debut and put up an impressive performance at Oaklawn Park, winning the Rebel Stakes, which is a great two. And the form isn't magnificent, but he's entitled to take a step forward. I think there's big question marks about the rest here. He should go off favourite, hopefully not too short, but he should be winning this, really. So the two selections are Timberlake in the Arkansas Derby and Hades in the Florida Derby.
There wasn't enough racing domestically. Joe's gone to Florida, and he's where is Oaklawn? Where, what state is that in?
I think you're putting me on the spot here. It's down by Louisiana somewhere, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, well,
could be outing myself there now.
It looks like it's got a few of the West Coast trainers there anyway, so probably isn't a million, but then sure, look, they could be in the middle too, who knows. Timberlake and Hades. Okay, not enough racing at Ferry House for Joe, he's gone. And Sky Sports Racing will show you all the action as well. Best bets on a busy Easter weekend, lads. We've covered a lot of ground here, so want your best bet for the weekend. If it happens to come on Saturday, that would be great, but if it doesn't, don't worry about it. Rory.
I will side with, he says, trying to buy himself a little bit of time.
It's new.
I see the price going on that. No, I'm going to go to Musselburgh.
Okay.
In the Queen's Cup, and I'm going to go for Struth.
Struth, mate. Joe?
Shima Classic in Dubai. I'm going to go to August Rodan. Should be around 2-1. I think he's a very fair price.
And to confirm, that is at 4 o'clock, a Maidan on Saturday. Got to give the race time for folks. Not everyone is aware where exactly Shima Classic is on the race card, Joe. Hot tip.
Sorry.
Hot tip. That's okay. Four, that's why I'm always giving out to you. Race times. I don't want bloody race. Yeah. 4 o'clock at Maidan. That is August Rodan for Joe, his nap of the weekend. And then, as mentioned by Rory, at Musselburgh in the Queen's Cup, which is due off at 3:35. Struth, mate. There are the naps. Oh, lads, fantastic. Covered a lot of ground this weekend. As you were off all last week, Joe, I imagine you're working for Easter weekend, yeah?
I'm off Saturday, off Sunday, off Monday. So Saturday I'm going to do a 15-hour shift watching the racing on Saturday. And then Sunday I'll go to Mallow if it's on, which is probably unlikely. And I'll go to the Irish Grand National on Monday.
Crikey. That's good coverage. Well, fair play to you. So 15 hours of TV racing and then two trips to Mallow and then to Ferrius. Fair play. All right. Good man. I'm not going to race at all. Rory, your plans for Easter weekend?
Well, I shall be trying to watch a bit of racing, but the kids are off school in about an hour's time. So I'll have my hands full with them until Monday morning when I get a bit of peace.
Disaster. just no one has sold this kid things to me. It just nobody can ever sell it to me. I don't get it at all. But anyway, fair play to you. You're repopulating the earth, and that's great. But
yes, indeed, it's very important, really, isn't it?
There's a lot of humans. I don't know if it's that important, but there's probably too many. The place I was in there last week, there's a lot there. Right. Well, look, enjoy both very different weekends, lads. I'll be honest. It sounds like we have got, as mentioned at the top of the show, loads coming up, including the Punters Panel for Aintree. We hope to have daily podcasts as well for all 3 days of the festival. That is next week, isn't it? Or is it the week after next? I don't know. I can't even remember. It might be the week after next. Aintree. Yeah. So there'll be daily podcasts for that. And if you still haven't listened to the Good Friday episode with Frank and Tom going through all the action, worth a listen. But have a great weekend, all. Don't forget, Good Friday Mass starts at 6 o'clock. That's the long one. Miss that one. The Easter Sunday one's not as long, but it's pretty boring. And then Easter Monday, sure, look, we're all watching racing at that stage. So great. The Church of Racing continues. We will talk to you all next week.